So I need drummers to know you are valued. You are valuable. We are the pulse. We're the quarterback. Keys Warriors can name all the keys and whatever. Fine. But I'm going to set it up.
Welcome, everybody, to Nashville Drummers Podcast, episode 40. Man, I don't even know what to say. We're 40 episodes in, 10,000 downloads, just crossed that threshold. That's, by some people's standards, many podcast standards, that's obviously small potatoes, but for us, those are big deals.
Yeah, again, thank you so much to all of our supporters and anyone that's been listening, giving us a nice comment or feedback. You know, we've just been kind of plugging away every month, and sometimes you kind of miss those milestones. But yeah, it's really awesome to be here at episode 40, and we're stoked to have interviewed our good buddy Vincent Williams, who many of you may know here in Nashville. He's recently coming off the Philip Phillips tour. I got to see him a few days after we recorded this. Actually, it was the very next day over at the Brooklyn Bowl, and that was just a killer show. But yeah, what did you think about our talk with Vincent?
Well, it was fantastic. Vince is one of the people who, since the inception of this podcast, has been on my short list. I have wanted desperately to get him on and pick his brain. And I've said this before, I think that the people benefiting the most from this podcast probably would be us. We're kind of just nerdy about drums and about drummers. And when someone can really play and then also happens to be a really clear communicator like Vince is, it's the 1-2 punch. It's amazing. So I had a great, great time talking to him, and I can't wait to have him on again.
Totally agree. Yeah. One of the takeaways for me was just the word that we kept coming back to was integrity.
Yep.
You know, and I think, like you said, he's a killer player. He plays with integrity, but also the way he carries himself with integrity. We get into some really good topics that I think will be really helpful for drummers and musicians about learning songs, about charting, about playing with other musicians, about touring, and all those things that you can apply integrity to.
One last thing before we get going here. We wanted to take a second and acknowledge the tragic passing of Aaron Spears. It's something that is obviously affecting the entire drum community, and we are no exception to that. Both of us are pretty brokenhearted about it, whole thing.
I never got the chance to meet Aaron. Have you met him before?
I never got to
meet
him.
But he's one of those guys that, like, I feel like I've already met, you know, and I think he had that impact beyond his extreme talent, of course, on the drums, but just his personality. And yeah, as you said, just such a tragic loss. We shared a clip actually from his last clinic here at Forks, and you can actually see Vincent having attended that clinic. So that was, I'm sure, very special for him.
I remember the moment that those clips came out of him playing with Usher and James Brown. And I remember how much that just spread like wildfire through the drum community. And I truly believe that he is someone who impacted the game of drumming as a whole in a permanent and tangible way. And it really makes me ask questions about, what do I want my legacy to be?
Yeah. Well, stay tuned. Nate and I have been talking. I think we'd like to record a separate sort of new format episode about just us discussing Aaron's legacy. And I think it'd be cool if we could, you know, have feedback from you guys, and we could have you guys call in or comment, or we'll set up some sort of system. But I think it'd be cool to have that. So stay tuned for that.
We hope you enjoy the 40th episode of Nashville Drummers Podcast. Love you bunches.
I see some people who like buy like jugs of just like stuff like that, and they just pour it and go. Like jugs of just, I guess, already made coffee, or like cold brew. Sorry, I'm a novice, so you have to speak to me like a child when it comes to coffee.
You know what? Well, first of all, and you brought up another point. Yesterday was your anniversary.
It was.
Is this the first one?
Three.
3 years. Okay.
3 years.
Dude, well,
three
congratulations.
Years.
Yeah.
First wife.
Yeah. Let's keep it that way. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
How long have you been married?
We just crossed 10 years.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
We just crossed
10 years. Dude, congrats.
Thank you. We took a little trip to Mexico and did one of those all-inclusive resorts. It was really fun. I wish someone would have warned us before. So, like, vibe, the whole area, like, 10, for sure. Like, everywhere we walked in the resort, we're like, this is amazing. Food, 5.
Mid.
Yeah. Like, there were some things that were, like, that were pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Or, like, oh, that was good. That was good. And then I ordered, like, at least 5 or 6 things where I went, trash. Trash, man.
What the heck?
This is weird.
Dude.
So, anyway. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's a beautiful fall day here in Nashville.
Here we are.
We're delighted to welcome Vincent Williams to the podcast.
You are you have been on my short list of dudes I really, really wanted to get on the podcast.
Thanks,
and
man.
My short list of just my favorite players.
Oh, man. Thanks, man.
That's two good short lists by Nate.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Dude, yeah. We met, 2 years ago over at Flamingo?
Yeah, man.
And honestly, like, you know, we kind of stayed in touch through Instagram. And
yeah.
I don't think I had your number. And then I saw you at the Eastside Jam, right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize you were such a supporter of the podcast. You told me you've been listening every episode. And that meant so much. I didn't even realize that you were into it, because I can't assume every drummer listens to it. You know, like, we're humble.
I got to keep my ear low to the ground, you know?
Man.
What are the drummers saying?
Exactly.
That's why we're doing this.
I love this.
What's going on?
I love this.
This town's just a little too big to know without constantly asking. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Our pleasure to finally have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Ooh. And why don't we kind of start there? I mean, I met you at these jams, and, you know, just quickly talk us through your journey to Nashville and where you're from.
Born and raised Lawrence, Kansas. It's like a blue dot in a red sea. I'll leave it at that.
I've never been to Kansas.
Really? Yeah. It's like a flyover state.
Have you? Know.
I've been to Kansas. Yeah. I've driven through on a few tours. I've played a couple times.
Yeah. Very scenic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful to drive through.
Yeah. Very flat. There's wheat. There's clouds. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yeah. So I was living in Lawrence. I moved away from Lawrence a couple of times. Like, I lived in Fairbanks, Alaska for a year. I played for a church up there. And then I moved back to Kansas. And then I moved to Oakland, California for like another year. Played for another church. Moved back to Lawrence, and I was detailing cars at this spot called Dale Willie. Shout out Dale Willie. And I got a text message from a friend of mine. She was like, "Hey, this band, the Delta Saints, are looking for a drummer. You should try out." And so I sent the guy, my buddy Dylan, I sent him a video of me playing. I think I was playing a cover of Happy by Pharrell.
Yeah.
I sent him that one. And he called me, and we chopped it up. And then, they rented me a car, and then the rest is history. Like, they literally just picked me up on tour.
I love it.
Through Lawrence. And
wow.
Yeah. Talk about a learning experience.
Wow. Dude.
Yeah.
Okay, let me backtrack on that 1 second, because you said something that made me want to ask a question.
Ask anything.
So you lived in Alaska, Fairbanks, for a year.
Yep.
And you said you were doing a church gig. Did the church gig bring you out there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because anytime I have a friend that was like, I've got multiple friends that have been like, I lived in Alaska for a couple of years. I'm like, how? How did you go from – and both – actually, my other friend who did that same thing, he's also Midwest.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like
– Yeah, I was going to say, there's some from Kansas, it's pretty
there's
niche.
There's a connection.
There's something there.
We're tied in.
Yeah.
Is it just a direct flight? Is that all it is?
Like, what is it? There's something. I want to know what that
Thanks
is. There's some sort of connection.
Bro.
Yeah.
Only people from Kansas will understand Alaska.
No. So how was that year in Alaska? I mean, did you know anybody? And
So my best friend who passed away, RIP to him, but he was a youth pastor. And so he would just get calls to, you know, play organ at churches and also be the youth pastor. And he would just bring me along. And I was like 20 and I knew nothing. I just remember just sitting in a house. Like, if it wasn't Sunday, if I wasn't playing, I would just be sitting in a house playing Call of Duty Zombies. Like, that's all I did.
Yeah.
I did see the Northern Lights. So that was pretty cool. But other than that, it was just a lot of zombies.
Yeah.
A lot of Call of Duty.
You still play some Call of Duty?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just pretty much destroy at that?
Man.
There's a weird kind of connection to a lot of musicians and actually, I weirdly, like a lot of high-level musicians and some sort of game. It's either Call of Duty or Smash.
Oh, bruh, we do not want to go on Smash. Who's your characters?
Bro, I barely play. But a ton of people in my circle are like, oh yeah, main Yoshi or whatever. I'm like, what? Yeah, how do you have time? But like, do you know Forrest Rice?
Is he a big gamer?
Dude, yeah. I see that. Amazing at Smash. I've got like multiple people in my direct circle. My singer in Crusade, Brian, he was just one day we were talking about it, and he was like, yeah, not anymore, but I used to play competitively.
Ooh.
And my keyboardist in my other band was like, I love this. Brian, shout out to Brian Seagraves, sweetest dude ever. He's like the most humble dude.
Okay. Right.
But as soon as my keyboardist was like, oh, like I'll, you know, whatever. Mm. He was like, yeah, I'll beat you. Brian said like categorically no. Yeah. He goes, I will absolutely destroy you.
You got to be careful. Yeah. People like that. Games until. That are just like definite. It's like, okay, I don't want to play this guy. There's something about him. He knows some extra combos.
Yeah,
you know
for real. I mean? And I want to do that, man.
Dude.
That is interesting because we have had multiple guests that are into video games. Yeah, Joseph's probably the first. I was like really into it. Who else? Yeah. I mean, I was into the Rock Band games.
Oh, man.
Like hardcore.
Heck yeah.
Same kind of mindset. Like if someone was like, oh, I'll probably get a higher score on drums.
Yeah.
Well, like, you can't actually because I've got the highest score.
At my 35th birthday party, he was like, I think I'm still ranked highest in the world. And I haven't played, and you haven't played in what, 6 years?
Yeah. It's been way too long.
And he just pulled up their website. He was like, yep, right there.
What?
Yeah. That's a topic for another time, but bro, yeah, I'm like number one, number
that.
Two, right?
You have to flex that.
I know, right?
It should be a t-shirt at least, right?
Something.
Still, dude, it's, I 100% agree. Yes. That is, it is a flex you should use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you still play some Call of Duty.
Oh, yes.
I don't know where to jump off with that.
Man, if you want to get some good kills or like get a good score, run with me. I'll keep you safe.
Okay. No, I'm not even kidding, man. I need to have something like that in my life because I'm just work and go to sleep.
I feel that. Yeah.
So what is it for you? We don't have to get too deep, but we can. Are video games more than just like a fun hobby? Or is there an actual like...
Yeah.
What does that represent for you? And does it help inform your musicality?
It just keeps me like I'm a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I like to do other things that like outside of music and like video games are just one of those things. It's like, here, disconnect.
Mm.
Don't think about this pattern. Don't think about this song you have to learn. Just shoot the button. Press R2.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's simple, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then as soon as I press pause, then I can, you know.
Yeah.
Go back. And just an escape.
Yeah. That's like one of my things. If I'm like learning a lot of music, I will stop and play video games. Like I will, okay, hour of video games, maybe 2 hours of video games. Yeah, yeah. And then
check the watch.
One more bar. Yeah, I'll get one more bar in. One more measure.
Need another hour.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's just a great pastime to just not think, if that makes sense. You know?
Yeah. That's that. Totally. And I've talked about this a little bit, and I try to make room for it, and I need to do it more, is the, like, there's, I believe in, if you're working, work hard and focused.
For sure.
Then
play just as hard.
Right. Like, you need to be able to turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. Because
if you don't turn it off, you'll just be fatigued all the time.
My gosh.
And you'll just half-ass everything.
Yes.
I need to reteach myself that, because my brain is always obsessed with that thing, and that's probably... That's cool, but I'm like, it's probably to my detriment if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
If I could have more time where I'm just like, yeah, I just want to like get on COD and just run around and kill zombies.
Right. That's it.
That would be so good for me.
There's no pressure. Yeah. I don't have to nail a lick. I don't have to land on the one. I can just shoot and just move on. You know what I mean?
But you're still shooting in time, probably.
I am still shooting in time, yes.
See the metronome.
I can just relax. Fucking campers.
Oh, man. Golly. I wish they would stop that. The real ones get out and run. I am a runner. I run.
Okay.
Quick draw. I'm that guy. You know what I mean?
Dude.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Side note, all the people I play with are musicians, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like my whole group is just nothing but musicians.
That's so funny.
Really?
Yes. It's like all of our pastime.
Do you like have a, do you have a specific time that you all will just gather and do the thing, or does it just happen?
It just kind of happens. Somebody will send a text out. I was like, hey, are we hopping on? Who's running? Or we say, mark it up. You know what I mean? And then we'll just hop on. Some games can, you know, start at 2 a.m.
Oh my God.
Maybe some like 8 in the morning. So you just never know. Yeah. But you just have to be ready at all times.
Damn.
And yes, I'm the best in my group.
Yes.
Let's go. I'd never doubted that.
Dude.
I am Thanos. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Don't make me snap.
Don't make me do this. We must keep order. All right.
I love it, man. All right. So I totally derailed us here.
No,
so
it's all right.
When we left off, before I just took us straight off the cliff, we were just starting to run with Delta Saints.
Yeah.
So what has happened in your musical journey starting there? Moving towards now.
First, let me say this. I did not know how to tour. Mm. Like when I was picked up the Delta Saints, I had my toothbrush like in a like just a little baggie. Like, I didn't know anything. I didn't have a toiletry bag. I didn't know anything. I didn't know about, like, making, like, jokes and just being fun or making a lot of dick jokes or just whatever. I didn't know about tour talk. I was like,
they
what
never tell you about that,
are
no.
these guys talking about? And why do they need coffee every day? There are just so many things I had to learn. Yeah.
Like, all the non-drumming stuff.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like, how to hang, how to be a person. Like, which I feel like I already know how to do, but... just with strangers, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I learned about IPAs. Like, there's just so much stuff I learned, bro, that I knew nothing about. But touring with them, they taught me how to tour. They taught me how important the hang is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just be a cool cat. You know what I mean? You get on the road. Like, nobody cares. You're going to be on stage for, like, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe an hour. Maybe 2 hours. Who knows? Huh? But after that, we're just back to hanging like this and just sitting around, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like stuff like that is what I definitely learned with the Delta Saints.
Our good buddy, Jeff Adamy, who we had on, he was early episode for us. He posted something recently on his Instagram about touring. And
yeah,
he was saying like, look, touring, you know, it's like you said, you're on stage, you learn, even leading up to the tour, like you learn the music so much. But then once the tour starts, you have a lot of free time. Right?
Dude.
Like more than maybe you would expect.
You're just kicking it.
Yeah. How has that been for you? And have you picked up any new hobbies besides Call of Duty?
I enjoy reading. I don't mind if I'm reading the book physically or if I'm being read to. I don't mind. I think both are the same because I'm having to take in the information.
Yeah.
So reading is something I've always enjoyed doing. Walking. Like just getting off wherever I'm at, doesn't matter the city, just walk around. Just like go burn some, you know, stored energy and just go just see what the locals are doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just anything to just kind of stay grounded. You know what I mean?
Totally. Because
being on the road can get hard and it's like, oh man.
What kind of books are you reading?
Memoirs. I love memoirs.
Okay. You
know, I love honesty, and who knows if they're telling the truth, you know? If I wrote a book, I'd probably tell them Superman, you know what I mean? But I love those. I guess they just remind me of like, I'm not the only one who's had to go through some obstacles to kind of get where I'm trying to go, you know? So it's just like encouragement for me.
Yeah.
What's the last memoir you read, or what's maybe a couple of your favorites?
Well, since I'm on a drummer podcast, I read Travis Barker's memoir.
Damn.
Ooh, amazing.
I gotta get that.
Bro, it's amazing. The dude is musical.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like,
and driven.
And deep.
And been through a lot. Yeah.
Yes, yo. Like
that bit, I didn't read the whole, I just like picked the book up when I think I was in Barnes & Noble. I was just like, oh look, Travis Barker's memoir. And I read that part where he had joined the Aquabats.
Yes, dude.
And they were talking about, like, they ran through the set one time, and the guy was like, oh yeah, I can give you some notes. And he was pissed. He's like, I remember everything. I don't need your notes. Yeah. I remember all of them. Like, okay.
Dude.
All right. Yeah.
Dude, it was the story that where he was like on the plane and it was crashing. When I was reading this particular part, I was on a plane that was going through heavy turbulence.
With DJ AM, that guy?
I'm not sure. He lost one of his best friends.
Yeah, DJ.
The one, yep.
Yeah.
Dude, that part had me so nervous. I'm like, I just had to keep stopping. Because I'm like, this is too real right now in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But great book. And Mo Meta Blues by Questlove. Sorry, it's another book.
Oh, okay. Sick.
I got to shout out the drummers. You know what I mean?
Dude, absolutely.
Questlove, he's did it all. My favorite part of that book is there's an after party. Prince threw an after party, a skating after party. and he was late to his own after party. I guess he showed up at like 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Standard Prince. Yeah.
Right. And I guess he had glow in the dark roller skates. And I guess he's a phenomenal roller skater. This is what Questlove said. And I'm not surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a man of many talents.
He was good at everything. Bro, what the
basketball
heck?
And roller skating.
Come on.
Like, how, what do you do with a guy like that? He has to be funky.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Come on. That's, see, right there. Bring it full circle. That's a dude who had hobbies outside of music.
Dude, you have to.
So good at music. So good at music and was just low key good at just a grip ton of things.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. Basketball, skating, who knows what else.
You know?
That dude, we may never know just how many things Prince was good at.
Right. I wonder if he played like chess or Catan.
He probably did. He probably kicked ass at both.
I think that's the thing. Like when you become, that's one of the things about like mastery. When you figure out how to master one thing, that's kind of figuring out how to master everything.
Dude.
I know the process
to
get good at anything, which is like, I don't even know if this is a fact. I was told this a long time ago. That in China, if you graduated from the Shaolin Temple, which is obviously super hard to do, you could basically get a job doing whatever. And their thought process was, if you can do that, you can figure out how to do anything because your work ethic is insane. Mm. Like, so if you figure out how to master an instrument and then you maybe, you know, you master a couple, then you're like, well, then why don't I get good at chess?
Yeah.
Why don't I get good at this other, like you can pretty much do that with if you have the work ethic.
Dude,
you can do it.
I was just talking to a buddy about this yesterday. Like, I feel like knowing what we know about like drums and like how long it took us to get where we're at, I feel like it would scare a lot of people to like start something new. It's like, oh God, no, I'm gonna suck at it. I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, for how many years?
Exactly.
How many lessons?
10,000 hours? Nope, not doing it. No way. Call of Duty, I will do.
Hey, drummers, are you worried about losing your hearing? Did you know noise exposure can cause permanent hearing loss? Dr. Jason Baker with Music City Audiology provides mobile concierge services to musicians in Nashville and surrounding areas. That's right. He is 100% mobile and will come to you. If you need ear impressions, custom in-ear products, ear cleaning, hearing tests, or information about protecting your ears, he's your guy. Music City Audiology cares about drummers and wants to help you maintain your most valuable tools, your ears. Visit MusicCityAudiology.com to book your consult today. That's MusicCityAudiology.com.
So how long have you been playing the drums? Let's go back there.
I started when I was 6.
Okay.
But I wasn't like playing any gigs or anything. So I feel like
you weren't on tour at 6?
Right, you know.
The preschool tour.
Right. My mom taught me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, dude. She taught me just like this little basic groove because we played like the same kind of style song in church every Sunday.
Yep.
So she taught me and then I just kind of went from there. I didn't do any marching band, nothing. I was just drums in church. I did marching band my senior year of high school at Lawrence High. Jazz band, and I really wish I would have did it like my freshman year. So anybody who's in school, if you want to do marching band, go do it as soon as you can.
100% agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like there's so many valuable things that I could have learned quickly. You know what I mean? Like reading music and just like understanding drums and like time and just all the things. You know what I mean? So
especially back to the transferable skills that we just talked about. Yeah. I mean, discipline comes up every single time for anybody that has any sort of drum corps,
dude,
marching band background.
These guys are crazy. You know what I mean? Like I respect any DCI player. I respect them. Like you're just you're a freak of nature. I come in peace. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Please do not destroy me.
Please do not destroy me.
Yeah, it's the thing that always gets me about DCI players is like, we've got a few, like Jake. Which I didn't even realize, he was big into marching playing. And we didn't even talk about that on the podcast.
Nope.
But he, like, always alternating flams. I'm like, how do you do that so fast? That's crazy.
Bruh. Like, freaks of nature.
You know Nico Medina?
Oh, yeah. That's my dude.
Yeah, big drum corps guy also.
Yeah, Nico's a beast.
Golly, I love his tones.
Yeah, man.
What are you doing now, man?
I am currently on tour with Philip Phillips. Like 15 more dates left. So.
Yeah, buddy. So that's a relatively new gig for you.
That is.
Yeah.
And it's like the first gig I'm playing for an artist that has like a recognizable song. for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a name.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah.
So, talk us through how you landed that gig and how that tour's been going for you.
So, here we go with Call of Duty again. I was playing Call of Duty.
He was online. Oh, my God.
Right.
You shot him.
It's like, who is this guy that I just can't beat? I was playing Call of Duty, and my wife was sitting there actually with me. She kind of roots me on, which is wild. But anyway.
That just makes me so happy. Yeah. Yeah. That's a healthy relationship.
Like, she gets more upset if I die. Or, like, if there's, like, a glitch, she gets mad.
You have a headphone splitter so she can hear what you're going through. That's dedication right there.
Well, I'm telling you, she's a real one. Shout out Bailey. Anyways.
Go, Bailey.
I was sitting on the couch in my boxers. That's probably information that nobody cares about. But I just need to, I was comfortable.
It's important for
I
the
was
visual.
Comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Take us there. I want to see
I
this.
Was yeah. sitting on the couch, boxers, video game, Call of Duty, and my buddy Jared Alexander.
Killer bass player.
Dude. Trumpet player. He's one of those people that's like good at a lot of things, yeah. by the way. He can skateboard. He can do tricks. He can like do kickflips. Like I was just with him the other day. He bought a skateboard and he did like three perfect tricks in the store. And I was just like, who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
But he called me and said, hey, this artist named Philip Phillips is looking for a drummer. You want to do it? There's another cat. I don't know if you guys know Bradley Harrison.
Yes.
Oh, so. Dude. Samurai. An assassin on drums.
I've been meaning to get together with him for so long.
Yeah. He's quiet, very quiet, and like does his own thing, but the dude is a monster.
Yeah, that's
I love those.
Daniel Jones was like this was during COVID
yeah.
and when he was in the in the practice rooms all the time. And I was like, yeah, I really need to get together with a few people and just start shedding. And he was like, you need to get together.
Dude,
he will annihilate you. You're going to love it. I'm like, great, please.
But like, he's so cool though. You know yeah. what I mean? He's not like a douche or a dick. He's like mm-hmm. one of those, like he will show you like, this is what I'm doing. Or think like this. Like he changed my whole playing style.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude.
Quick funny story about him. Sorry, side note.
Give it to me.
He was the first drummer. Actually, Nate Felty was the first drummer I was shedding with.
Love Nate.
But I saw a video of Bradley, playing drums online. He was actually at Diamond Sound. I was like, oh, I can hang with that cat. Dude, I met up with him, just me and him. When we got done, you would have thought I just got done working out, like running 5 miles, and he didn't break a sweat.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, just, oh my goodness.
You were just watching him. You weren't even playing.
No, literally. like,
why am I sweating right now?
Dude, he worked me. Oh my goodness. Oh, yeah. I love Bradley, man. That's a great guy. So, yeah, anyways, Jared called me. Say, hey, there's another drummer, Bradley, but I don't think he wants to do it. Do you want to do it? So here we are.
So did you know who Philip Phillips was?
I did, and I only knew him because when Jared originally got the gig, he invited me and Bradley to a show in like 2018. And so we went and saw them, and yeah, full circle. It's just wild how that happens.
Dude, yeah, it's funny. Like we talk about getting gigs, and it's always, it seems to be a lot of those moments. You prepare, you give yourself every opportunity.
Yeah.
And then like you're playing Call of Duty on the couch. Yeah. And then those moments, you just kind of go for it, you know?
Absolutely.
So was there an audition process or how did that work?
No, he just sent me the music and was like, let's do it. I think there was, like we did like a 2-week run. Okay. And to be honest with you, I was kind of like messing up because they have like the songs and then Philip likes to jam.
Oh.
So like the songs were sending me like 9 minutes long, you know what I mean? And I'm like forgetting some of the jam parts, but we you know. I yeah. brought it in. I had to like obsess over the music for a little while. I'm like, no, I can't Call of Duty right now, guys. I'm trying to learn Gone by Phillips.
Yeah, man.
You know? So, yeah.
So tour ends in a few weeks, you said?
Tour ends in November. Okay. November 11th. We're in New Orleans. I forget where. So, you know, just kicking it. I'm loving these days off. I can tell you that. Like, this is one of the first tours where like you do like 4 dates and then you're back home.
Yeah.
4 dates and you're back home. Like, I can do this all
that
day.
That I feel like I one of my guitar players plays for Steve Vai, and he was talking about they're doing these long tours, and he was just like, long tours suck, bro.
Yeah.
He's like, it's just so freaking mind numbing. He goes, I love the music, I love the guys, but it's just so mind-numbing to be on the road for this long, even though I love the whole situation and it's fantastic. Yeah. But he goes, we'll do it different. I'm like, right there, what you're describing, that's the
dude, ideal.
I can't think of a better way to do it.
Literally, you know? Yeah. My wife isn't missing me a lot.
So right. Like that you, is nice. You get to come home, be refreshed, reconnect with your wife.
Literally.
And that's for me, like as a person, again, you're 3 years married, 10 years married. I'm going, if we tour, which I want to do.
For sure.
I don't want to be gone for 3 months straight. Dude. That sounds horrible.
Dude.
Especially if we start popping out kids.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't want to be missing like big,
no, literally.
Big moments in literally. Their development. That will suck.
Yeah.
I don't think two things about tour. Is it weird for you when you like come back home and like, do you and your wife have to like relearn one another?
Yes.
It's like, hey, I'm such and such.
Yes.
It's kind of weird in a way, you know what I mean? Like I don't know, maybe other people are different. They just come home and they jump on their significant other and whatever. But I have to like re-meet my wife in a way.
Yes. Well, so, you move at a different speed on tour than you do at home, and you just, not to be like woo-woo about it, but like people talk about like vibrations, like you vibe differently on the road.
Absolutely.
And like what you said, tour talk.
Yes.
The van talk. Yeah. People who have never been on the road, let me just say, you have never heard a mouth like the mouth of a touring musician in the van or on the bus. Like you have no
idea. Nothing's off the table.
Exact, dude.
It's like, who can say the raunchiest thing?
You can, someone I knew said something like about like playing one of those like card games where you're supposed to say the kind of the worst stuff. I'm like, that's like infantile in comparison to the stuff that you say in the van. There's no comparison.
Nothing. Nothing. Like, I don't know if I should share this. Delta Saints, it was like first tour. At the end of it, it was like a 2-month run. We were talking about like who can throw an infant the farthest. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm telling you guys right now, if you grab it by its leg and you do like a spin, like a disc, you could probably get 30 yards. I think I get maybe 20, 30.
Yeah, if you try to throw it like a football, no, it's not going to go.
That's too heavy.
Like, yeah. You got. It's more like it's like a mixture of the discus and the shot put.
Yeah,
like it's got to get the technique right. That's what I'm saying,
bro. I'm telling
you. You guys see Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh hell yeah!
That scene where they're talking about throwing the midgets. Yeah, we're definitely gonna get canceled after this episode. This is the episode.
I'm sorry,
we've been
guys.
Waiting for it.
I'm sorry, guys.
Oh my god,
tour talk.
That's tour talk. Yes,
but 100%.
Yes,
when you come home,
can't talk about throwing babies, do you?
Yeah. Well, and even if you could, you couldn't just jump straight into that. So, because that's where your brain is at when you're on the road. It's like trying to keep yourself sane by saying
literally,
the most insane.
Literally,
things.
No, literally, literally. That's it.
So, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Sammy Potts, she talked about this a lot, the balance of like coming off the road and how tour was actually like fine, but it was coming back home, which was that adjustment.
Dude.
Have you had to also rediscover hobbies or just like routines, like going to the gym or going out to get coffee with people? How has that been? It sounds like you've had more time at home, so maybe it hasn't been that dramatic.
It hasn't been too bad this time, but there has been times where, you know, I suck at Call of Duty. You know, it's like, oh God, you guys have leveled up on me. I have to catch up. You know what I mean? I will say food. I miss more food when I'm on the road.
What do you miss? What food do you miss?
If I'm in a new city and I just did this, I can't talk too much shit. I don't want to eat at a chain, a popular chain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you shouldn't.
Like, let's go to a hole in the wall. Let's try something different. Where are the locals eating? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keep me away from Chick-fil-A. But recently I was in New York and I got Chick-fil-A for breakfast and I was just like, I'm such a failure.
Yeah.
Like,
at least
New
it was
York,
just breakfast. I mean.
Right. It was only breakfast, but it's like this. Yeah. Somebody made me feel better. It was like, hey, it was a New York Chick-fil-A though. So that's like the only thing that's making
me feel
better.
Does that change anything?
I don't know.
Dude, that's the exact, I'm going to start using that argument and for anywhere that I'm at. Yeah, but it was a Delaware McDonald's. Like, oh, yeah. Wait, what does that mean?
You just walk off.
Yeah, don't worry about it. See you later.
You'll get it later. You understand when you're older. You know what I mean?
When you're older. 5 minutes from now. You'll be older then. You'll understand that I was messing with your head.
But yeah, man.
Do you have like a list of some holes in the wall that you've encountered on the road that you were like, if I go back there, I need to do that again?
Ooh.
Because I've got a couple.
Hole in the walls that I definitely remember. I can't tell you their names, but if we went back to the city, I can be like, you follow me. I think I know where this spot is.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. I judge by the size. If it's like a big building, yeah, like a big room, the food's not going to be that good.
Yeah.
It's those small spots that's where the sauce is, mm-hmm, in my opinion.
There's the first spot, then this wasn't on tour. This was just, I would just happen to go out there. Honolulu. I had a friend who lived there for like 5 years. I'm like, where do I need to go? And he was like, you need to go to a place called Gina's Barbecue. It's Korean barbecue, Hawaiian style. And he's like, it doesn't look like anything. Mm-hmm. It really, like, you would look at it and go, I don't need to go there. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to be trash, to be honest.
It's the best spot.
Unreal. He was like, here's the thing. If you put that food on the top of your head, your tongue will beat your brain to death trying to get to it. Like, okay. And he was right. The other one, this one always goes in my brain. Anytime I'm in St. Louis, I need to go to Fountain.
Okay.
On Locust.
Crazy.
Say less.
I just, yeah. I'm not like, I don't think when I go to a restaurant, man, I really need a salad. That's the last thing that my brain is going to think. I'm thinking like, well, what, like, should I get a steak? Like,
oh, for sure.
What cut do I want? And one of the best salads I've had in my life, and this insane Cuban sandwich that, ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then also espresso martinis, which were awesome.
That sounds like a win.
Yeah. And on the wall, there are little dials because there are quote unquote radio stations, mm-hmm, playing in all of the booths.
Oh,
and it's like,
sick.
It's like these comedy radio soap operas that are like super melodramatic. And someone will say a line and then like dramatic music will play. And it's hilarious.
That's a vibe.
It's like a weird Disneyland feel.
See,
like what's happening?
See,
in here?
That's an experience. I think that's what I want when I go to a restaurant. I want an experience. Mm. The food is one thing, but like I want the atmosphere to like set the tone for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
That's just me. And I also just thought of this, and tell me I'm wrong. If a restaurant is too clean, I don't know if the food's gonna be that good.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like dirty restaurants, they don't have time to think about.
Maybe it depends on the cuisine too.
That part.
That's, dude. You,
like if I'm going to like a takeout Chinese restaurant, I want trash on the floor.
I don't want
any English being spoken.
Yeah.
Like, no, literally. If it's too clean, it's like, nope, you guys care too much.
Especially with Chinese, I'm like, if they understood me too well when they were taking my order, I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
I don't know about any of this.
Yeah.
I can't trust it.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. That's why I think, you know, Waffle House is, like, one of those guilty pleasures. I haven't had it in a while, but it's dirty.
Yeah.
If I'm not skating on the floor to my seat, I don't want to eat here. I don't want to eat here. You care too much. This isn't the place for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're not focused on the food.
Get back to the food.
Yeah.
The people that work at Waffle House are focused on the food.
And fighting.
And having hands. Yeah. Dude, I've been doing martial arts since I was 6 years old.
Oh, that's sick.
I would never throw down with anybody who works at Waffle House. They're going to beat the brakes off of me.
We need to explore a Waffle House endorsement.
Can you imagine? Amazing.
Bro, did you see that video of this lady like
the chair?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God! She catches it and she gives that look like, I will crush you. Like, that lady's like a good 80 pounds lighter than me, bro, and she would beat my ass.
Bro, there's something in the waffle mix. I don't know.
Something in the waffle mix.
You know what I mean?
That's a song title.
Yep.
I'm writing that down. Sorry.
Something in the waffle.
Something in the waffle mix. Hey, drummers. Do you need a place in Nashville to practice on actual drums? Drumbox is Nashville's newest drum practice studio. Book sessions online and get the space to yourself. It's fully equipped with two kits, cymbals, hardware, and even sticks are provided. 30-minute, 1-hour, and 2-hour sessions are available at www.drumbox.space. And use the coupon code NDP25 for 25% off your first session. Again, that's www.drumbox.space.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to bring us back a little bit here, but this is hilarious. I'm loving it. Any memorable cities on tour and memorable gigs even that stand out to you?
Yes. Man, a lot of it's going to be with the Delta Saints. Our first show was in a... We were somewhere where we went whitewater rafting.
Oh, cool.
And I'm with strangers, you know what I mean? I don't know these guys. I'm like, what am I doing out here? This is, no offense, like, this is white people shit. Yeah, I mean, whitewater rafting, which is not true. Yeah. I love it. Everybody should do it. And there's a moment where our, like, tour guide was like, everybody jump off the boat or whatever. Jump off and just get in the water.
Yeah.
And I just, like, kind of looked around. It was just, like, a moment where I was just, like, I'm just going to have to trust whatever's going to happen. And I, like, jumped in the water. And when I came out, I, like, lost fear. Because I'm with these strangers, but here we are, you know, in this water together, and we're laughing. And that was, like, the moment where I was like, oh, man, these dudes are my guys. Like, I think we'll be okay from here on out. You know what I mean? So that was, like, the most memorable moment.
That's bonding. That. Yeah, real bonding.
You need that. Yeah, you definitely need that. Man. You could spend, like, 24 hours every day in a rehearsal room, but, like, that's not the same.
No.
That's just, you're just focusing on the craft. The
yeah,
thing, you know what I mean?
For sure.
You need those time away.
Yeah, dude. So that was the moment. I always say that I was baptized.
Wow.
In the water.
It was a baptism.
I love that.
You know, I've actually never been whitewater rafting.
Yeah, same.
It's kind of terrifying.
It is definitely terrifying. I have my shoes on too, just in case I had to like run. Okay. I don't know why I kept my shoes on the whole time.
Run in the water.
You
yeah.
Never know,
that
dude.
Makes sense.
You just never know. Someone told me about this. An old coworker of mine was saying that when there's a national disaster, there's a registry of Waffle Houses, and you find out how bad the national disaster is based on what Waffle Houses are open. And it's like a whole thing. I can't remember what I'm going to have to text him and ask him. Just that idea to me.
That's wild.
If there's a bunch of Waffle Houses that are closed, things are bad here. Things are really bad here. Like, okay.
That's the benchmark.
Because they stay open.
Yeah, they do.
I feel like this is going to be my last thing on Waffle House. Yeah. When aliens do decide to pull up, I have a feeling that Waffle House is in on it. Like,
yeah, right.
They've been studying us. You know what
They're
I mean?
They're going to enter through Waffle House.
No, literally. Like, Waffle House really goes like 60 feet down underground. Yeah, right. Something like that. I'm telling you this. I have that suspicion.
Dude.
Because to work there.
You heard it here on the podcast. It's going to come back to you.
Waffle House turns out to be just like a CIA plant.
No,
like,
literally.
Yeah, of course. Like... You guys just accepted that a place like this exists? This was an experiment on the national psyche. Yeah, yeah, this is obviously ridiculous.
They just care about food here.
Yeah. Right. Like, man, everybody here,
we thought it
everyone
was obvious.
That works here can fight? Come on.
Bro, I'm telling
think
you.
About it.
That's exactly. CIA. Yeah, they're all CIA agents. Yeah.
There you go.
That's it.
Waffle House is a psyop, everybody.
We cracked the code.
That's it.
This might be your last episode because Waffle House employees might pull.
Exactly.
Oh, dude.
Okay, I'm going to bring us back to Philip Phillips tour.
Yeah.
Describe your role because you're more than just a drummer.
Yeah.
You know, you're a songwriter and a producer. Yeah. So are you involved with that on tour as well, or is it just mainly drums?
Just drums, unless like Jared, who is mastered my last record or upcoming record. Shout out to him. But if it's not between me and him, nah. Like, I've never toured with the artist and they like have ever cared about like what the drummer thinks. You know what I mean? That's one thing I hate.
Yeah.
I feel like drummers are being slept on. Like, we're just like some bottom of the barrel type shit. And I will look at any band and I'm like, okay, if you want to start a band, what are the two instruments you're going to start with? Outside of vocalists, if you're going to start a band, what are your two instruments?
Drums and bass.
Sure. But you better believe drums will be the main one of the main ones.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's gotta be.
Church. There is like, oh man, I'm going there. In church, there is this hierarchy that keys he did it.
Yep.
I respect keys players. Some of my best friends in town are keys players, and I always talk shit with them. But okay, cool. You if you start a church, you're gonna start with keys. What's your next instrument? Drums.
Yeah.
You're gonna go drums. So bass players, organists, guitarists, cool. Great. You can play, but it's going to be drums and keys.
Yeah.
So I need drummers to know you are valued. You are valuable.
Yes.
Don't listen to keys players. Don't listen to bass players. Don't listen to guitarists. You're valuable. Don't listen to the pastor. You're valuable.
Especially the pastor.
You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, amen to that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
bro, we are the pulse. If a keys player messes up a song, nobody's going to flinch.
Yeah.
Bass player messes up, flubs a note, nobody's going to flinch. If the drummer messes up, people are going to be like, whoa.
What was that?
What are you doing?
Yeah, the wrong fill, the wrong transition.
Bro, we're the quarterback.
Tempo, I mean, everything.
We're the quarterback. Keys players can name all the keys and whatever. Fine. But I'm going to set it up. I'm going to be quarterbacking this during them, like while the song is happening. Sorry. I had to say that. That's something I knew I wanted to say.
Well, it's the whole, and I probably overquote it, but it's the whole Buddy Rich thing. He said something to the effect of, a decent band with a great drummer will sound great. And a great band with a bad drummer will sound bad.
Literally.
Like,
that's it.
I think of drums as like almost like the skeleton of the body. And if your skeleton is weird, misshapen, like that's the shape of your body.
Literally.
Now. Like, and you're going to build muscle and tendons and everything on top of that. It's going to be interesting.
Literally, like, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. What has that experience been like for you, specifically in Nashville? Because, I mean, like, we've talked to, you know, Rob Bodley, who is, like, hardcore, you know, music director for the Foxies and for other bands. And it does seem like it's a mix. We've talked to other drummers that do take on more of the MD role.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because they have those skills. Other times it's the gig actually just requires it.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think drummers need to do to sort of, do you feel that drummers should be in that role? Like, we should be the quarterback, so you might as well start training like a quarterback.
If you can articulate yourself in a musical setting, then yes. But if you cannot communicate to the guys who are playing like notes, like say like, hey, you need to go to this, then I wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Unless it's like a situation where I've seen some bands are like MD'd by two people. It's like the drummer and then maybe the keys player, but they like work together. The keys player maybe talks to the band and the drummer is more just like facilitating like the whole overall feel. Yeah. Like, oh man, you're supposed to do something right there. Like that wasn't that, like, you know, and the keys player's like, oh yeah, it's supposed to be like an F minor or whatever. You know, stuff like that. So if you can communicate, drummers, do it.
So understanding music theory.
Yes. If you can't, don't.
Understanding what each element of the band is doing and where those roles fit in.
For sure. You know.
Well, that's a good transition. You know, we met at those jams and let's kind of go there too. I mean, how important are the jams in town?
All right, here
Flamingo, Eastside Jam.
Here we go. You know,
here we go. Yeah. I mean, are those good opportunities for, let's say, younger drummers that maybe don't have that experience to just come in and listen, forget playing.
Yeah.
You know, especially because some of those are, you got to be a pretty good player.
Yeah. I feel like you have a lot of thoughts on it, and I want to hear it.
Yeah, I know. He's chopping at the bit.
Okay, let me say this about jams.
Jams.
I won't put it in like a name or like just this jam, just jams in general.
Yeah, sure.
When I was a house drummer at some places, and like when we would get up and like another drummer would get on, or like the next cast would get on, and they just would start overplaying. I would sit there and be like, is that what you interpreted like I was doing the whole time?
Yeah.
Like, you thought that's what I was doing? Like, I sometimes I'm insulted.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, bro, I wasn't shedding up here. I was actually just playing. I was trying to be cohesive with everybody else. I was listening. You're up here trying to get a gig. Like, somebody cares.
Mm.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, that's the sad truth. Like, nobody gives a fuck. You can come out here and do all the 30-second notes you want.
Yeah.
Great. That's tight.
I mean, we just had Jacob Robinson on from 615 Sheds. Yeah. We just talked about that, you know, like, Sheds without musicality is not, it's just chops.
It's just chops.
Is what we said. You know?
Yeah. I have not once ever used like a big chop on this Philip gigs.
Yeah.
There's no time for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just play the song. Let's go home.
Yeah.
And like at jams, that's why I'm like, I just sit there and I'm like, what are y'all doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a great place to rub shoulders. It's a great place to like watch somebody, but it's not a place to go, you know, have a dick waving contest. It's not that.
Like, yeah.
It's supposed to be a conversation. You know what I mean?
100%.
I hope they answered your question.
Open up your ears. Yeah, no, totally. I think so.
Yeah, I was just rewatching a couple of nights ago. I was rewatching Serious Moves.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
You know?
Yeah,
Dennis,
for sure.
Have you ever watched?
Oh, nope.
Dude, I'm just going to send you a link. You can watch the whole thing. One of Dennis's instructional videos. I used to have the VHS, but he talked about how some drummers will go and play gigs and they sound like they're practicing. And he didn't mean they sound rough. He meant like they sound selfish.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, there's, you can definitely see that in some of those. I'm like, oh, dude.
Dude.
It's a jam. It's not your practice room.
Bro.
Like, there's like maybe 5% room for you to do something like that. But the rest of the time, like, just lock in.
Just lock in.
Just listen. Appreciate what everyone else is doing. And you will, if what you want is a gig, then that's the way to do it.
Dude.
Just like appreciation of what everyone else is doing.
Literally.
Listening and synchronizing with that.
Like, that's especially at like jams, if there's a vocalist that's up and they're singing.
Oh.
I feel like if cats would just like fall back and let the vocalist do the work, like you'll sound like a pro. They'll be like, oh man, he stopped. Like his dynamics changed because I'm singing.
Yeah.
Wow. I like this guy. He's listening. But if you're just like vocalist is like competing against your snare for volume, it's just like, dude, we don't know what that person's saying.
Yeah. Like it's not a drum cover.
It's not.
Like, you're playing with something. You have to listen, use your ears, react.
Yeah.
Give them space. Yeah.
Like and I also refuse to kick people off drums. When I was doing that stuff, I hate it when people are like, oh, you got to kick this guy off. I'm not kicking anybody off. Mm. You know what I mean? I just, especially like jams, like it is for everybody. You know what I mean? So if this dude wants to just get up here and sound like an asshole, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Let him sound like
an asshole. That's the whole, like, give him enough rope to hang themselves with it. Like, sure. you want to do that and sound selfish as hell?
Cool.
By all means. And Nashville is small, so they're going to be like, wow, that.
Dude.
Interesting, yeah.
Dude, this is going to be off topic. I came to Nashville not understanding that. If somebody sends you music, learn that shit.
Yeah.
I thought I could just wing stuff. Oh, goodness.
Man. Yeah.
Dude, I was humbled. Like, this is the realest thing you'll probably ever hear. I was humbled.
Dude, this is not off topic at all. I want to go deeper into this,
like,
actually.
Like, moving from Kansas or what these other places, like, the integrity wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Cats didn't care if you showed up not knowing the music. But okay, cool. You know what I mean? We'll just fumble Ruski through it.
Yeah.
Nashville, you show up. Oh my gosh. People are going to look at you like, what are you doing? You didn't learn the songs?
Yeah.
You don't know the music? Now we have to stop to teach you the song.
Right.
Because
I can play. Like, yeah, we can all fucking play.
We can all play.
Yeah.
You don't, that's what's the guy in the door. Yeah. But now you have to.
What's the tempo? The time.
Yeah.
Count us off. What's the opening lick? Count us off. Oh, you don't know that? Okay, cool. So now we have to sit here and wait for you.
Yep.
Dude, yeah. I've been humbled too. I mean, I never chart before moving to Nashville in 2020. I had never really had a chart music. I didn't.
Yeah.
Nashville number system was brand new.
Yeah.
Would you say that's probably like the standards? Like, yeah, especially if you're learning original artist music, like, especially if it's recorded, it's out on Spotify, learn it note for note.
Dude,
and then you
learn
could,
it.
If there's chances to open up, infuse your own
style.
If the artist wants maybe an 8-bar solo, then you do it.
Right.
You make it different. But like, learn that shit verbatim.
Yeah. Integrity is like a word that I like using. Like learning something with integrity. Like I have a good friend, Phil Moore, who's one of the craziest bass players in town. And when it comes to like learning music and retention of it, dude can learn a song like one time through. He just hears sections. Mm-hmm. But he would always say, it's just like when you're learning a song, I promise you, some people would just start playing. They'll start playing, like listen to a new song. Like, okay, I got to learn this. And they start playing over it. Well, you're missing stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shut up and just let the song play and then we'll get back to you. You know what I mean? Like just stuff like that, like integrity, like what is this kick pattern? You know what I mean? Is this guy setting up one bar or is it two bars? Like, you know what I mean? And like you're saying, then like once you get the blueprint, then you can start, you know, implementing yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your process for if someone sends you a new tune or like, let's say someone sends you like 10 tunes. You're like, I gotta learn all 10 of these. What is your start to finish, how do you go about learning that?
How much time do I have to learn the songs? Because sometimes I'm a procrastinator.
Let's say you've got 10 songs. Let's say you've got 3 days to learn them.
Oh, man. Day two, I'm definitely knocking those songs out.
Yeah.
The first day, I might just like listen to them. But that second day, I'm trying to play each song at least 10 times.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That way, like, I'm not thinking about it. I'm just like, oh, I know this song. And then once like that 10th time, oh, I'm definitely putting Vincent on there. Like, I'm definitely doing what I think. I'm like, oh, I think the drummer probably should have did this, and I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
And in rehearsal, if the MD or the artist doesn't say anything, then sweet, we nailed it. But they're like, don't do that. Do what's on the record. So, okay, cool. I know exactly what's on the record because I played the song 10 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can be a chameleon and literally revert, control Z that. You know?
It's exactly.
Like, here's me. Oh, you didn't like that? Okay.
Cool.
Back to the.
Cool.
I know it. So that's you know not a problem. I mean?
Like,
yeah.
That stuff. It's like practicing until it's just like locked in, until I can like sing it. Like if I'm driving to rehearsal, if I can sing the song, I'm like, okay, cool. Then I know it. You know, stuff like that.
What is your process for, are you a charts guy? Do you transcribe note for note? Do you do Nashville number system? What's your process for that?
I count bars.
Okay.
Like, I'm a bar counter. I'm like, okay, verse, 8 bars. Yeah. There might be a hit there. Like, I just kind of do it like that. So to answer your question, no, but yes, just in my own way.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own sort of, I could show you, I'll pull up after this, my own PDFs, which is kind of a combination of everything. And it's the same thing. It's the form of the song. It's not a natural number. I can do that, but I don't make my own natural number system.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll just do verse, 8 bars.
Yep.
And I'll put like drum transcriptions and notes if I need it.
Yes.
And just the groove, that'll get me through the whole song. And then it's, chorus, 16 bars.
Yep.
Is that kind of what you
do? Yeah, that's exactly what I do. And I'll just like look that over real quick. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like Philip, the artist I'm working with now, he will send the set list out maybe a couple hours before showtime. So it could change. Sometimes it might be a song that I didn't like learn. So I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? Listen to this. Okay. Verse, this and that and this. And if I can just get that and just get the overall feel, we're going to skate by, you know what I mean? Which sometimes may not always be a good thing. Don't skate sometimes.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to not use a chart on a gig. Mm-hmm. I'm curious your thoughts on this too, but like there's plenty of gigs, especially for me. I work a lot as freelance
and
a lot of last minute gigs with artists where it's like, I need that blueprint or else I don't know the song. It's a 48 hour call kind of deal. But if it's a consistent artist, I'd prefer. It's funny, this year I've seen that where it's like, I play differently with the chart than I started, it started to be a consistent gig with this artist and I put the iPad away and I played so much better. I was free. Yes. I could actually react better.
Dude.
I could physically look at the musicians, the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's optimal. I don't think anybody wants to have a chart on the stage.
Yeah.
I feel like looking at the chart, like, is using up processor speed
literally
or something like
CPU
your RAM like, exactly
at, okay yeah and then this section I need to do this. I'm like, I feel like if you can do it, it's just better to just memorize it.
Literally,
it's just better.
Literally.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
what, that's what you do.
You're I'm
big
free, you know me.
Oh dude.
I'm like
your brain, your gigabytes are, I think you have terabyte storage.
Dude, it's weird though, but because I've had so many people ask me about like chart stuff for Broadway. Like, well, what do you use? I'm like, I just listen to the song.
Yeah.
And then I go and I play the song. And
literally.
I just try to remember the thing. I'm like, well, I mean, but there's so many. Like, yeah, well, I messed up a lot of them the first few times I played them. And then I'm like, I go, if I play a new song, I'll write it down. I'm like, I should go and listen to that. Okay. Like, there's actually a Dierks Bentley song that was playing. What was I thinking? I'm like, I've played that a few times on Broadway. I was just coming in and going, we played that last night. I've still never listened to that song.
Yo.
I need to go back. And I'm like, I would listen to like the first 30 seconds and go, okay, this is the feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the band I play with is really good about cueing any kind of hits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. All right. Mm-hmm. That's on my list. Like, I need to go and listen to that. So if we get it again, I'm like, okay. Confident on tempo, confident on feel, any kind of hits, any energy, like transitions and dynamics and all that stuff. I want that locked in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's no practice like just going for it, failing. If you have the opportunity to do that, and it's not everything. If I was playing for Dierks Bentley, I'd be like, well, I need to know that. A week before I get there, I need to be like, oh, I'm so confident on this. I play in my sleep.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a producer in town named Aaron Lewis, one of the goats in gospel production. He told me when I was not learning music, but he was like, dude, when you show up to a situation, you need to know the music better than the artist. Like, if you just have that mentality, like the MD, if you show up like trying to compete with them at learning it, oh, dude, you'll be great.
Yeah.
You'll be so good. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, and it's like what you were kind of talking about before. If you know music theory, if you don't know music theory, start to learn music theory. Like, just start, learn intervals at least.
Literally,
yes. Just be like, all right, yeah. Like, you were supposed to go to the four there.
Exactly, exactly.
Like, that was pretty sure you just played the five.
Yeah.
Please, the four.
Yes.
If you're able to bring that to the table, that's so much value.
Oh, my goodness. You're different. You're like, whoa, who is this guy?
And he's paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
And that kind of brings me back to, like, natural, like, the hierarchy in drummers. Mm. I didn't even really want to write songs. I always made beats as a kid. But when I came to Nashville, I was like, oh, you're just a drummer. Oh, this is my buddy Vincent. He's a drummer. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the label.
You don't know me. Dude, I play Call of Duty, bro. I will kick your ass.
I'm an assassin.
Don't talk to me like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was like stuff like that. That's why I just like, you know, I'm going to start making songs. That's the only reason I did it. There it is. There's the truth, everybody.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed making songs, but it was only because people were just like, oh, you're a drummer. No.
Yeah.
No. So much. Actually, I can write songs too. Check this out.
Dude, countless drummers that also produce.
Dude. Yeah. Heck yeah. Dude, we sit in the background. We listen to everybody. Of course we're going to write good songs. Like, you know, I'm not saying I write good songs, but I'm just saying, like, Anderson .Paak, great. Songwriter. Oh,
man.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Drummer, bro. Killing.
Yes. Dude.
Killing.
Great drummer.
Bro, like probably one of the best. Like you like for him to be like an artist, but like a drummer, you know, some Bruno Mars
vocalist,
was.
Yeah.
But Anderson .Paak did his thing, bro.
He has dude, Anderson is the dude.
He's the dude.
You know when I knew he was the dude? Because I already liked him.
Yeah.
Was when he did that interview and he was talking about drummers he likes, and he was like, he brought up J.D. Beck and Mike Mitchell, and I was like, oh, you like drummers?
You like drummers.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, yep. I'm like, I knew that was it, and I really started digging into his stuff, and I was like, oh, yeah. This dude is really
good. Like, he's musical. He gets it. Yes. His Tiny Desk was like...
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Whoa. That's when I knew he was a real
one. Had that on repeat for so long.
Bro. bro. Yeah, man. The guy. So, yeah.
Dude, who are some of your favorite drummers?
Favorite drummers, Carter Buford, Beauford.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dude, he taught me, one, that it's okay to use an 8-inch tom.
Yep.
If it's not gospel, you can use an 8-inch.
You can.
Neil Peart, too.
Yep.
And his splash work is underrated. He might be, like, one of the most original. Like, a lot of cats nowadays, I hear all the time, like, I call them lyrical players. They'll, like, play with the lyrics, with splash, stuff like that, or accent lyrics. Carter Beauford was doing that shit.
I forgot about that in his playing.
Dude, cold.
Dude, I've got a little note about
ahead,
him before you move on.
All right, go ahead. Let's get it.
You know, what would you say? What would you say? He does this little fill right before they go into the solo section. What would you say? I remember the first time I heard that. Like, as a young player, my brain went like, I really love that phrasing and the way it kind of turns around. And I was like trying to figure out what it is about that I love. And then I started to hear like a bunch of the gospel players.
Dude.
I was like, that's the thing. Bro. And they're doing it a lot. That's the thing that I want to do. I want to do that.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's, oh man, Carter Buford. I get like his hi-hat pattern. He's just comfortable. He's just a smart player. Chris Myers, you guys hip to him?
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Humphries McGee.
Oh yeah, he's local. We gotta get him
on. He's here.
Dude,
Killer player.
I do love Humphries McGee. Yeah. He's here?
He's here, bro.
Yeah, he just came through he just had some surgery, right? I think he's good now. I think he's recovering and
dude.
Yeah, he's a smart dude too.
Yeah, his playing is like there's like musical players and then there's Chris Myers. He's different. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. He plays everybody's part while still just driving the train. Like,
he's very nimble.
Wild. Yeah,
it's fun watching him play.
Wild, bro. Yeah. Killing player. Chris Myers, Calvin Rogers, of course, man. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's the guy.
That's like clean, just precision and clean. Chicago has its own sound. I don't know if you guys know Desmond Davis, who lives here. Black drum hippie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dude, Chi-Town. Yeah. Like, his tones are... Like, I don't know what it is, but Chicago just... Their tones are just...
Yeah. I want to get him on. I was just talking with my friend Colton Parker.
Oh, bro.
And he had made a post about it. I was like, I need to get him on.
Dude.
You think he'd be into that? He's like, oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Bro.
Oh, yeah.
He was at a show recently I played on Philip Phillips Tour. And it's funny, like, before we started, like, they, like, had the lights on. And I saw this guy sitting in the back. I'm like... That Desmond, I couldn't see him clearly. We played the show, come to find out it was him. And I found out that he told Jared, he's like, don't tell Vincent I'm coming. And I'm so grateful because I would have played differently. You know what I mean? Like knowing like somebody like that's really good at your craft is watching you, you might approach it a little different, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe pressure. I would have been a little bit more jammer, selfish jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few extra ghost notes.
You know, just a few. Like,
just a few. It's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah. So I was so glad. I was like, oh, thank you for not telling me he was here.
Yeah.
You know, because he got an honest player out of me. He saw like my honesty.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't trying to do anything for him. It was just, so shout out Desmond Davis.
Question about that. How, when you are in situations like that, and maybe somebody in the audience is like someone who, in the best situation, like, I would like to impress you with my playing.
Right.
How do you approach that mentally? What do you do to, one, avoid being like being selfish, like we talked about? And then what would you do? Like, I do want to like do something that makes you go, oh yeah, that was really solid. Yeah. That was really, really good.
I feel like it depends on like, one, how many shows you've been playing. Is it like just a one-time thing? Whatever. But I feel like if you just stay true to like what you rehearse with the band, like don't ruin your game plan. Like if you already have a game plan, stick to that. If you're doing just a boom, do that. Don't do that. The band, we didn't rehearse that.
Yeah.
Do exactly what you did in rehearsal and it'll make you sound cohesive. Like the team will sound good, not just you. And then making the team sound good, the guy would be like, bro, you sounded great. Like,
exactly.
Stick to the plan.
You know what I mean? Stick to the plan. Yeah, don't do extra shit.
Yeah, the band sounds tight. Then the comment is, oh, you were killer on the drums.
You're killing, bro.
Those two things are byproducts, yeah.
It's the same thing in the fight game. Did you ever watch the Forrest Griffin and Anderson Silva fight? Dude. Okay, so Forrest was...
Wait, was this the guy that just beat him?
No, this was a wild guy. This is an old fight. Okay. This is a really great example. Forrest is like tough as nails. He was known for being just so freaking tough. He's a bleeder, so he'd get cut and he would just keep fighting.
Oh shit.
And Anderson was just one of the most technical and creative fighters ever. A genius. Mm-hmm. And Anderson just beat the shit out of him like he was beating a child.
Okay.
Forrest literally gave up during the fight. In the middle of, he put his hands up. He was like, he was done.
Oh, shit.
Because he was just getting his ass beat.
Okay.
They asked him after the fight, like a few weeks later, I read an interview and like, so you ran out. What was that about? He was like, did you watch the fight? He was beating me like a little kid. Like he was, I was just like, I was literally embarrassed to be in there with him. What happened? He's like, I had a game plan that I worked out with the coaches and he just sucked me out of my game plan into his. Mm. Like, stick to the plan.
Dude.
If you stuck to the plan, you might not have beat him, maybe, but maybe you would have. Maybe you could have at least not just like had a terrible showing.
Yeah.
Stick to the plan.
That's great advice,
The last R&B tour I did, was playing for this artist named Bryn Joy. And me and my buddy Alan Dumas, shout out to him, phenomenal keys player. Me and him programmed it together. He did more of the programming. I was just like, oh, that should be a hit. We should do hits there. We, you know, drummer stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, we rehearsed the show where every lick was a part of the show. It wasn't just like a lick that you just did. It was like, no, that's the lick. Do that lick every time. And so, like, we went on tour, and we had the show dialed, and I'm doing the same licks, same lick, every show. Well, the MD of the band that was headlining was like, don't play the same show. Like, do something different. Like, you know, if you already know the song or whatever, just do something different. And I tried doing something different, and it just didn't nail. It just didn't feel as good as how we dialed it in rehearsal. And my buddy, Alan's like, nah, bro, stick to the game plan. Like, do this, do that lick. Doesn't matter if they've heard it before. The audience hasn't heard it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, the MD is like, you're not even with our camp. So I didn't listen to you.
You know what I mean? But it's like stuff like that. Like, so no shame, bro. Like, I see some tours where, like, the drummer's just snapping or the band is snapping. Yeah, it's because they rehearsed it. They've dialed that in. That's probably the same lick he does. He might switch it up, but he knows exactly where he's going to start his lick, where he's going to open it. He knows the lyric. Like, yeah, bro.
That's a good point. It's like every, especially for, you know, a pretty extensive tour, like, it's a new audience every night.
Time.
Even though with the band, like, you know, there may be fatigue. You're playing the exact same thing. Maybe it's kind of boring.
Yep.
Maybe not. But stick to the game plan. There's a reason it's been rehearsed and it works that way.
Yeah. You know? Like, Philip knows on his songs, I'm going to open up on the spot. He knows I'm going to do it. Like, I'm just going to do it every time.
Yeah.
And it's going to, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, wow, yeah.
On the Phillips gig, is there any drum solo in any songs or any moments?
Dude, they actually just gave me a drum solo on the song called My Name. And it's like, there's like a 5-4 jam and then it just drops.
Yeah.
And
that's when you could.
That's when I, you know what I mean? And cool. My first solo was like more like just Shetty. Like I kind of like, I call it bailout. Just like.
Yeah.
The audience will love it. And people are like, Did he just do?
Where's the one?
But then I did like a Daru. I told my buddy, I was like, bro, I'm about to do a Daru Nate Smith solo on this one. And I just like did this. kinds of...
Yeah, Nate Smith.
And people were like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it got them. It got them. The groove is undeniable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
You've heard of Drum Supply, but you gotta see their shop. It's a drum shop experience like no other. They're packed with all the gear a working drummer needs, and so many parts, noise toys, and accessories. It's a toy store. Curated cymbals, kits, and snares. The hands-on percussion room is nuts, and their custom shop work is fast and affordable. Andy and the guys know their stuff, and they're ready to help. Learn more at drumsupply.com.
It is so difficult to strike a balance between, like, as a drummer who can play and, like, do something that would connect to other drummers.
Right.
Like, if you do, like what you said, like, more shady stuff. Yeah. If I'm there, I'm going to go, yeah. he can play.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Or he can really play. Right. He can speak the language.
Right.
But then, like, watching, like, okay, Chris Coleman playing for Beck.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
He's going to play a solo that's, I mean, it's Chris Coleman, so it's going to be ridiculous. But it's also, like, the whole audience connects to his solo. He gives them, like, I think it's 30 seconds or something like that. And I'm like, you got 30 seconds. Make Beck's audience love your drumming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you're there.
And it's going to be a different thing than if, like, you got 3.5 minutes, make, Hadrian Farode's, fusion head audience impressed.
Yeah.
Like, he can impress both.
Yeah.
Like, but it's going to be 100% different solos.
Dude, I have 4 on the floor. That is the most contagious groove there is. If you do 4 on the floor, you've got everybody. Yeah. House music, whatever, it doesn't matter. 4 on the floor grooves always work. And I've always wondered why. And it's because it's just how simple it is. You don't have to think about it. Like, you know, like, oh, this is going to be repetitive. It's not going to be a boom, ka, ba, boom, boom, ka, boom, 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 ka. But it's like, whoa, I'm thinking too much.
Yeah.
That 4 on the floor.
It's like telling the audience, hey, we are here.
We're here.
Plus, it actually does create space that if you do a weird syncopated, even just one flam hit, it's going to sound a lot cooler.
It's within that
context, you know?
Dude, it's like you just have to, like, I don't know. You have to make it understandable for them. Like you're saying, like, that language. Yeah. Simplify.
Yes.
Simplify.
Totally.
So, yeah, that's something that I just recently learned. I was like, man, I don't need a shed.
Yeah.
Just got to just give them deep
pocket.
Send
us some videos of those solos.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
Dude, I've been trying to record myself more, and I, one of the bands I play with downtown, we play Jolene, Dolly.
Jolene.
And we do it with So Fresh, So Clean.
Oh.
But that groove and that progression, but with Jolene, and at the end I play a solo over that.
Ooh.
And I'm like, I've listened through a lot of it, and I'm like, okay, like, this is, there are better nights and worse nights. But I watched an old video of one of those takes, and it was a lot simpler solo.
But it
landed more for the audience. I'm like, that's the thing.
I
need to do that kind of thing. I can still explore. There's still room for that, but it's a different type of chop. Really trying to connect to that audience.
Have you ever heard Daru at one of the jams get on?
No.
I know it's him playing because he's going to give you a pattern.
Mm.
He's like consciously thinking of like his part. And that's like one thing I can just respect. Like, it's not going to be like, he's not going to shed you. It's just going to be
he's one of the most musical drummers.
You know, like, it's just like, oh my gosh. Like, it's like, boop, that's it.
Yep.
That's it. You know what I mean? You just got to get people in. You have to hypnotize them,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a pattern. Give them like a pattern. Give them something to fall on. And then once they like understand, like, okay, I'm here. Now you can take off a little.
Yeah, I mean, the best solo is you tell a story, you know?
That's
take
it, bro.
The audience on a journey.
Right? Absolutely.
But you have to start that journey in a place that's approachable.
Every time.
Like you said, simplify.
Every time. I love my wife because, like, when I'm, like, making tracks or music or anything, I can always ask her because she's just a common listener.
Right.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, no, that's not, that's too much. That's too loud. Or I'm confused. I'm like, got it. Mm. You know what I mean? So
it's good to have her in your.
It's good to have a layman's ear.
Yes,
that's it's really important.
Yeah.
People underuse that,
bro.
Like, hey, you've got my buddy Seth Carlson, who's just one of the most incredible musicians ever. His wife not a musician at all. Literally didn't even realize what a monster on guitar he was until he got here and people were like,
"Call
your husband's
guy.
Insane yeah, at yeah, guitar." He's yeah. like, "Oh, really? That's cool." Like, I kinda,
love that.
But he'll always ask her as he's writing stuff, like, "Does this connect?" I'm like, that's wise, man. That's,
dude, yeah. Every time. Always go for the common listener.
Yes.
Because they will tell you the truth. Harsh truth.
Yeah.
While musicians, okay, I don't want to go off topic.
Dude. Go wherever you please.
Sometimes I feel like as creatives, sometimes we try to do too much to try to impress another musician.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just like, bro, that musician didn't even buy a drink at the bar.
Yeah.
He's not going to buy your record. You need to go get the common listener. Go to them. They care. Musicians, we think too much about other musicians' stuff. But if you ever play me a record, it's hard for me to turn off like my musical ear. I'm going to listen to everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. You know what I mean? I mean, this probably could have been EQ'd. So you don't send it to me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Send it to the other person that doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's just working at Waffle House. Send it to them.
You know what I mean? That's great advice.
They will tell you, like, oh, I love this. This makes me feel good. Yeah. Musicians, like, man, I don't like how that kick feels.
Right.
Dude.
That's the best chord you could hit.
It depends on your goals, too. Like, if you're putting out a mainstream, you know, pop album, or if you want mainstream success, then yeah, you should be catering to the everyday listeners,
sure.
the common folk.
For sure.
So, I mean, obviously, I play a lot of like progressive music. Yeah. And
dude, you're fast. You move really fast. Like, I'm not even kidding. Oh. Like, killing. Go ahead.
Dude, thanks, man. Thank you. Well, with my band Flying Formation, I'm really proud of the first record, but I listen to it and I'm like, there are a lot of things where I'm like, I hear my weaknesses and I'm like, oh, these are things that I've since really worked hard on. But this next record that's coming out is a lot more. So our guitarist, Dante, the one who's playing with Vi now, nice. He was like, he went to a giant EDM show. He sent us a group text. He was just like, guys, this is better. Mm. He's like, this connects on a deeper level than the stuff we're doing. He's like, I still love the progressive thing, but he's like, this is just connecting with so many people and I'm watching it happen. And there are a few people, like, if you know Polyphia, they're doing trap music with like progressive metal type skill.
Sick.
Like that's
sick.
And that's why they have blown up in the past 3 or 4 years. They've just exploded. They're huge. They're everywhere because they're doing what is accessible in an insanely, like, untouchably technical way. Like, that is that's the cross section. If you're a really good player, don't get so caught up in just impressing the other players. Like, just find a way to connect and do it like you. Just focus on your voice.
Dude.
This, like, what is your voice as an artist? And do that. Do your voice better than anyone can. If your identity is just like out in front, that's the just gold.
Mm-hmm. Bruh.
Yeah, well said.
My first song, Dream Pool. I think when I released it, I had so many people like, wow, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
Because it's just a loop. I'm just looping you, and it's just, I have horns going on. But it's just simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to give you crazy stuff. Like, not me personally. Now, I respect it, you know, if that's what you do. Like, I love it. But, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just don't want to make music for other musicians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That could be just be me.
No, dude. I get it, man. That's Do you know who Maceo Parker is?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Maceo.
James Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he, if you ever listen to Life on Planet Groove or Live on, I can't remember if it's Life or Live. Somebody will check and find out. It's a great record. They start off with the song called Shake Everything You Got. And the first thing Maceo says, he's like, we like to play 2% jazz, 98% funky stuff.
Dude.
And I'm like, they've got everyone in that band can really play.
Right.
But their focus is on getting you to dance.
The funk, bro.
And it's so good that, like, Shake Everything You Got is like 16 minutes long, and never once do you get bored. You're just like, I just want to move the whole time. And there's a drum solo and a sax solo. The sax solo is like 3 minutes long, and it's just, you just want to dance the whole time. It's just vibe.
Bro.
Nonstop, like oozing, cascading, waterfalling vibe and dance. Like that's like above everything else. Like just get people to connect, get people to move.
All right.
And you will succeed. That's it. If people hear your shit and they want to move, it's done.
All right. Yep. Now I have to go somewhere.
Do it. Yeah.
Take us.
And this is no shade to anybody that I've worked with. I just want to put that out there. This is no shade to anybody. Tempos. If I'm playing a song live without a click. Okay. Matter of fact, let me say this. Have you ever like listened to James Brown or like Rick James, like their old live records?
Yes.
They're going so fast.
So fast.
They are not worried about, you know,
dude,
like,
oh
give
God.
It to my baby, give it to my baby. And they're just humping. He runs off stage, go do a line of coke, and comes back, and, like, they're just still, like, literally, like, no, like,
dude,
that's
ridiculous.
Their tempo. Yeah. Like, I heard Aretha Franklin, I think, live at Fillmore with Ray Charles, and she did Respect so fast. Do you think the audience is like, they're playing it too fast? No, they're dancing.
Yeah.
They're just humping. They just want to have a good time. And so I sometimes, like, when I'm playing gigs and people are, like, so worried about tempo, I'm like, dude, just look at the audience. They'll tell you. If the people are dancing, don't think
tempo
about
is
it.
Relative. Yep. Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
they're excited.
They're excited.
They're more excited listening to it here than they were in their car.
Exactly.
Believe it or
exactly.
not, a show is more exciting than listening to a song in
here,
your car.
Here's the layman ear telling us if we're doing a good. If they're dancing, they're telling you. They're showing you. Yeah. Don't say, it could be faster. No.
Yeah.
Don't. We're not worried about tempo.
A record is three BPM slower than that.
Oh,
hey.
My God.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah.
We're just playing.
Yeah.
Just play. Yeah. Let's have fun. No. Now, if it's like an artist gig, that's different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, sure. They have to sing in, so let's hold some integrity, but.
Oh, thanks for saying that. I mean, I think. Dude. I think it's important.
Golly.
Because, you know, if you were to take the same song, let's say you're playing at a 12:30 club late at night for people versus that same song at a music festival or Broadway, tempos are going to change. You're going to have the record tempos, but you need, as musicians, as a drummer, because sometimes the artist may be not aware of that. But it's like, it's on us to be like, no, get the vibe of the audience, the venue.
Bro.
Let's get the people moving or... Something's got to change if it's not working.
I've never like worked out or like did something. My heartbeat goes. I'm like, hold on, heartbeat. You're rushing.
Yo,
you're rushing. You're not no. It's moving.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, let's go. Yeah. Don't think. The heart's not thinking. It's just pumping.
Just does. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that's going in the book of quotes.
Yep, that's going in the book.
I'm literally putting you in my book of quotes now.
Man, Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes we try to take the human out of it. It's like, dude, we're human. Like, let me be human. And James Brown, I don't know if he said it, but it was in his movie, Get On Up. Tempo is not just the drummer's responsibility. Like, I don't know where people ever got this idea. Like, it's only on us. What? No, you need to play your part. Just, you might be speeding up. Mm-hmm. Guitarist might be speeding up. He's playing rhythm. Why are you going so fast?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, like, let's, no. It's everybody's responsibility. But if we can all try to get here, then we're good.
Yeah, then maybe the drummer can, like, adjust.
Yeah.
But everyone has to,
We all have to be, like, so one. Yeah,
that's our job.
One accord. Everybody.
Well, I mean, hey, for anyone who's ever, any drummer who's ever had to play to, like, solo to hits with a band that, like, if the band can't keep time. How are you going to solo to hit like that?
Bro.
Severely limits what you're going to be able to play.
Bro, that is when people are exposed, and I hate when bands try to keep hits. I'll tell you, don't play.
Yeah.
Just stop playing. Let me take it from here.
I'll just do it, yeah.
Because if you're going to hold hits, I'm just going to have to groove.
Yep.
Unless you're
Snarky Puppy, and it's freaking mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You know, you got to rehearse that. You can't.
Yeah. It can be brutal. No shade to anybody.
No shade to anybody.
But just if you feel yourself, anybody who's playing not drums and you have a section like that and you know that it's always a little hard to keep time when the drummer's doing that, that might be your cue for exactly what you should go home and woodshed. You know what? I'm just going to woodshed those hits.
Dude. There has been so many moments where, like, when I'm at home, I love a click. I love playing to clicks.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I'm sure we all have pretty good timing. I've always wanted to, like, challenge other instruments. Like, let's start a click, for one bar, and then let's turn it off. But you have to stay on the time. Let's just see how well you do. Yep. And whoever is the closest, they get to dictate the time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
Like, that is something I've always wanted to do, because some cats, I'm like, bro, I just don't think you're around the click as much as me.
Yeah, definitely not.
You know what I mean? But, it is what it is. You have to be humble.
Yeah.
I have to put my ego to the side sometimes. I'm like, what? Rushing, speeding. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're dancing.
Yeah.
We've achieved the result.
We did it.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. We did it.
Yeah. Right there. Look.
Like, right there. She's dancing.
Yeah.
Like, golly.
She may be drunk.
Yeah.
And have a cowgirl hat on.
But she's having a good time.
She's having a great time.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh. Like, don't get me wrong. I can appreciate integrity. But at what cost? You know? At what cost? Just for the musicians, but always sound good, man. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Dude, I love it. Be humble. Simplify.
Simplify.
Yep. Yeah, some good takeaways from this combo.
I'm sorry.
I'm digging it, man. Well, we've covered a good amount.
Yeah.
Should we do some wrap up?
I think so.
Some rapid fire questions?
Uh-oh. Let's get it.
Okay. I got my list from Tim Ferriss, so this is going to be good. Let's see. When you think of the word success, what does that look like for you?
I think that is... It could be anything, you know. If I got up in the morning and I went and got a cup of water, that's successful. You know, maybe somebody didn't get up and get a cup of water. Maybe they had to get up and go somewhere else. I don't know. But I feel like it's whatever you deem fit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Doesn't need to be anything crazy. So, yeah.
I think
me coming here is successful. You know what I mean? Sitting here chatting with you guys, that's successful.
That's good for me.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I would call this particular podcast... this conversation a massive success. This was awesome.
Oh, man, thanks, man.
Okay. I'm going to do a Nashville-specific one. I was tempted to do it, but you already quoted or used a Tim Ferriss question. I may ask that one in a minute. Yeah. Nashville-specific, what are your favorite places to go and get food here?
Dino's.
East Nashville, baby.
I love Dino's. I love Jack Brown's, too. I feel like their patties, it's just a little bit too thin for me. I'm a big dude, you know what I mean? I like to eat. Don't get it twisted. I love burgers. So I'm going to go Dino's.
Don't get it twisted.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
Dino's.
Okay.
Dino's. Solid, yeah.
Yep. And I get two burgers at once. I don't get just one burger. I always get two.
Yeah.
And I smash both of them.
Good go. Man.
Proudly.
Okay, I noticed your hat says, I'm okay, no I'm not.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
The artist that's opening up for Philip, I think her name is Abby Holiday. I think that's her name. Okay. This is one of her merch items. And
he's rocking it, yeah.
I bought it.
Looks comfy.
I try to always support, you know.
Yeah.
When I'm on tour, like especially like touring with the same people, I try to support, buy their merch. I'll use my per diem. Otherwise, I'm just going to go buy something else. Ridiculous.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's a good look.
All right. Now I'm going to quote Tim Ferriss.
All right.
In the last year,
okay,
what purchase under $100 has been the best?
Purchase under $100. Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to say video game controller.
Okay. What controller did you get?
I had to get a new PS5 because I kept dropping my other one. I have a hardwood floor, so when it
dropping
falls...
Dropping or...
Dropping.
Okay.
Dropping.
Are we talking about a...
Yeah, what context? Yeah.
Like, it fell or, like, my dog, like, you know, pulled the cable that was connected to it. So, yeah.
Are you just playing from, like, the upper balcony? Are you just dropping this poor PS5?
Oh, shit. I keep dropping it.
Yeah. So that's definitely a controller.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that seems important for a big gamer like you.
Oh, bro, it's real. It's real.
Where do you want people to find you?
New record coming out next year, Composure, a lot of dancey stuff. But you can find me on Instagram, Drum Too Loud, Facebook, just Vincent Williams, or Apple Music, whatever your musical streaming platform is, or however you stream music, Vincent Williams.
Is there a meaning behind your Instagram handle there, Drum Too Loud? Is that like a manifesto on drummers playing too loud?
No, I just thought it was one of the hardest. I was like, that is hard. I'm surprised nobody's using this. Drum Too Loud.
I like it. It's unique.
Yeah. And I got rid of it. And I went to like V-Wheel X89, which was the worst name. Yeah. I was like, going back to Drum Too Loud.
Yeah,
you know,
it works, man.
I always remember it. Yeah. Yep.
I've been thinking about doing like I Am Vincent Williams, but I don't know.
That's kind of cool, too. You got a cool name, so.
Oh, appreciate that, bro. Thank you. I'm going to tell my mom that. Yeah.
Word. Well, this has been awesome.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, thanks for sure.
Man, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I was so nervous this morning.
Dude, first podcast, you crushed it.
First one.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. Well, guys, right, man, thank you.
Yeah,
dude.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Nashville Drummers Podcast. If you've enjoyed these podcasts, please consider supporting us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can help support this dream and keep the ball rolling for us. Believe it or not, it's not free or even necessarily cheap for us to make this thing go. To sign up, go to patreon.com/Nashville Drummers Podcast or click the link in our Instagram bio. All of your help is greatly appreciated.
Check out our new website, NashvilleDrummersPodcast.com. And if you're not already following us on Instagram, you can follow us at Nashville Drummers Podcast.
This episode was recorded at Diamond Sound Studios, located in Nashville, Tennessee.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.